40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Prosecutors say they'll release body cam video of Tyre Nichols' violent and ultimately deadly arrest later tonight. The five arresting officers have been fired. They're now charged with Nichols' death. Reporter Chris Fox is in Memphis.
Rodney Wells, Tyre Nichols' stepfather, said he's satisfied with the police response that led to the quick firing and second-degree murder charges against the five officers accused in Tyre's death.
More importantly, we want peace. We do not want any type of uproar.
Nichols' mother, Rovon Wells, said she's brokenhearted and has not watched the video.
But for me to find out that my son was calling my name and I was only feet away, but did not even hear him, you have no clue how I feel right now.
Chris Fox for CBS News, Memphis.
Law enforcement agencies around the country are on alert for protests they hope won't be violent. That includes Minneapolis, near where a white police officer was convicted of killing George Floyd nearly 3 years ago. WCCO's Rusty Ray.
It's readying its emergency operations plan in the event of any disruptions if people choose to protest. That includes coordinating with all city and neighboring agencies and even having fencing ready to help support key infrastructure.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she won't watch the just-released body cam video of the attack on her husband Paul last year. A judge says the man who pepper-sprayed police officer Brian Sitnick during the Capitol insurrection should spend nearly 7 years in prison. CBS's Christopher Cruz is in Washington.
Sitnick died of a stroke the day after the attack. His family had asked the judge to impose the harshest possible penalty. Prosecutors asked for a 7.5-year prison term for 32-year-old Julian Cater, who pleaded guilty last year to 2 counts of assaulting police.
Former Vice President Mike Pence says he takes full responsibility for the classified documents found at his home. He blames a flurry of last-minute packing at the end of the Trump administration.
While I was not aware that those classified documents were in our personal residence. Let me be clear. Those classified documents should not have been in my personal residence. Mistakes were made.
But Pence says that's no excuse. He says he and his attorneys are cooperating with investigators. Police in Jerusalem say the death toll is now 7 after a Palestinian gunman opened fire outside a synagogue in East Jerusalem. 3 other people wounded before police shot and killed the gunman. CBS's Robert Berger on what's next.
If he was actually sent by Hamas, then you might see Israel actually take action against Hamas in Gaza. If he was like a lone wolf acting on his own here in Jerusalem, then it might be a different response.
The Dow closed up 29. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual and
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Stephen Avery's lawyers want a new trial again. Their client is serving life in prison for the killing of Teresa Halbach near Manitowoc in 2005. His lawyers say the state needs to reopen the case. They claim another relative was seen with Halbach's SUV near the time she was killed, and that needs a closer look. Avery's legal team has asked for new trials several times. Judges turn them down every time. Dozens of vehicles, maybe as many as 50, involved in a pileup shutting down part of Interstate 3990 between Janesville and Beloit this afternoon. Crews and officials expected a long and slow cleanup. The State Patrol says it happened around 12:30 this afternoon during whiteout conditions. A steady shower of wet snow was falling all morning. We don't know yet how many people might have been hurt or how badly. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
...are to register for an event and see what incentives are available for you.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, he need cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of Native Roots Radio is brought to you in partnership with MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, you know, we every couple of weeks we get a report from our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, and she's a White Earth Nation, help me with the word here, White Earth Nation.
Member. She's a member of the White Earth Nation in Minnesota.
Yeah, here in Minnesota, and she's the first Native American to hold statewide office. So why don't we take a quick listen to her special report, and then we'll start up the show with the news, and we'll be right back. So let's listen to the Lieutenant Governor.
Vuju, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. We just finished rolling out our One Minnesota budget proposal for this legislative biennium. And let me tell you, this is the budget I've been working towards my entire life. Budgets aren't just fiscal documents, they're moral documents. These are the pages where we make it clear what we value and what we invest in. I'll dig in more on specific proposals and investments in the coming weeks, but I wanted to just start here with an overview. First, we rolled out our package focused on making Minnesota the best state in the country for kids. As many of you know, growing up, my mom and I relied on public programs like SNAP, which back in the day we called food stamps, and relied on the child care assistance program so that my mom could have a safe place to bring me while she went back to school and got a better paying job. And I frankly had housing because of a Section 8 housing voucher, and I am alive today because as a kid with asthma, Medicaid was a necessary tool for me to get my medications and really just to stay alive. So I am where I am today, Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, because of those programs, not despite them. And we are committed to helping families like mine and like so many of yours thrive with proposals like a child tax credit that helps parents afford essentials such as paying bills, school expenses, a new pair of shoes, childcare costs. Our proposal offers $1,000 per child up to $3,000 for low-income families and is expected to decrease child poverty in this state by 25% by that policy alone. Expanding access to quality, affordable child care by investing in a mixed delivery system that creates and sustains child care slots where they're needed most, including in Greater Minnesota. Funding for universal free meals for all students at schools so that every child can learn with a full belly, without stigma, and without question. And if you were a kid with a different colored lunch ticket like I was, this program will make a tremendous difference. We're going to feed our kids, and it's going to be a really good thing. Partnering with tribes and the urban Native community to strengthen and preserve Native families, and so much more. Next, we rolled out our budget package focused on investing in Minnesota's economic and climate future. As a mom of a now 10-year-old daughter, I want my child and every Minnesota child to be able to enjoy the things that make Minnesota, Minnesota, like our clean air and water, our fertile farmable land, our robust and valued workforce, and our vibrant small business economy and community. That's why we propose meaningful investments in providing paid family and medical leave and earned sick and safe time to make sure that no one needs to choose between their health, their family, or their jobs. Connecting high-need workforce sectors with workers and new and growing population of workers with training and family-sustaining wages and jobs. And investing in the clean energy workforce, electric vehicle infrastructure, rehabilitating our land and water and air quality, and building homes and communities that are climate resilient. That's how we build a bright future for ourselves, for our kids, and for our entire state. Thirdly, we rolled out our budget package focused on protecting the health and safety of Minnesotans. Everyone deserves to be safe and protected and valued in their community, no matter who they are or where they live. That's why we proposed $1.5 billion towards a housing stability package to assist our relatives experiencing homelessness, renters, and aspiring first-time homeowners, establishing a Minnesota Care public buy-in option so that folks can access health care, and $300 million to local governments to address their unique public safety needs. And finally, we rolled out our entire budget proposal last Tuesday, and here's just a few highlights. Our direct proposal sends a one-time payment of up to $2,600 directly to Minnesota households. And that matters. These direct cash assistance, right, these direct checks empower families to decide what they need most to make ends meet. So this could be paying first and last month's rent to get into housing, fixing a car, paying off a credit card debt, making sure that your children have new shoes that fit, which is something that I understand. And finally, we believe it's time. It is past time to safely legalize adult use cannabis. Prohibition doesn't work. And legalizing adult use cannabis is about our economic future, expanding our economy and creating jobs across the state. It's also about health, allowing us to regulate the industry and to ensure that products are safe, and educating the public about the facts of cannabis use. And it's about public safety, allowing law enforcement to focus on violent crime and expunging the records of people who are convicted of nonviolent offenses involving cannabis to give them a second chance. I know that's a long list, and there's even more that we'll be discussing in the coming weeks and months, but as just a sneak peek, I wanted to also name that our One Minnesota budget does a lot to support tribal nations and tribal communities. In fact, altogether, the budget recommends over $7 billion in proposals and investments that advance shared state and tribal priorities, and I cannot wait to share more of those with you here in the coming weeks. There's a lot of good stuff in this budget, and I'm really excited about it, and I hope that you are too. We can reduce child poverty, we can invest in each other and in our future, and we can make sure that everyone has an opportunity in the state. In many ways, this budget is why the governor and I decided to run in the first place. And now we can do it, but we're also going to need your help. This session is the session to let your local legislator know how you feel about these investments and to let them know why our community is deserving of these investments too. So we can do things for short term for our families and for our children, and then build for the long term to ensure that future generations of our children have every opportunity in Minnesota, Makoche, Chimigwich, Pinagigi, and back to you.
Wow, thanks, Lieutenant Governor. What a great update there, Ogama. I really like the part about expunging, or is that the right word? I couldn't think
expunging.
I couldn't think of members. So expunging the cannabis people that are low-end crimes that have to do with marijuana. That sounds really exciting, and that's the right direction.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And, you know, we do know that prohibition of those things doesn't work. And there's, you know, some safe ways for that to be legalized. And I'm excited for that as well. There's I think it's been long overdue here in Minnesota. But, you know, what really excites me is I'm a parent. I've got two girls. And, you know, a lot of this is reminiscent of things that I was told about Minnesota when I was a kid. I was told it was a great place to have children. And we were doing really well in the education sector and those kinds of things. And it's good to hear that we're going to be coming back around to that.
Well, and it's great. We have the privilege to have the Lieutenant Governor stop in every couple weeks to give us an update. I feel really honored and blessed. And we got a jam-packed show, Ogama. You're going to do the news here in the second. And then we got some rock star guests here talking about water is life, as always, what we do here in Native Roots Radio. So, hey, we're going to do the news next, and we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit. COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, a big sponsor of us for over the years, and boy, we support them, Ogama, and they're the leaders, I want to say, one of the leaders of the February 14th March MMIW, that there's a lot of groups that come in, but they're one of the big leaders, Ogama.
Yeah, I think they're like the hosting group, too. They're the ones that kind of organize and do the permitting and all of that stuff for the MMIW March on Red Dress Day, February 14th every year. And we're really excited to have them continue to be, you know, an ongoing sponsor for us and to be available to kind of uplift that's happening in person again this year. That is so exciting to have that back after, was it 2 years off, Robert, from COVID?
Yeah. I think it was three, but yeah, because they didn't have it last year either.
Yeah, that's right.
it's a blur to me. And also, you can tell my vocabulary is not working. So thanks for jumping in and explaining what the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition it does with that parade. And it's kind of hard to say that it's a parade, but it is a gathering, and there's speeches beforehand, and there's some really heavy duty stuff with people that are still missing their relatives, and there's signs with faces and names that are still missing out there, and it's an epidemic. And since the beginning of the year, I read, Ogama, that in South Dakota there's 30 natives already that are missing.
I would believe it. Unfortunately, that's, as a native person, as a native woman, that's not unbelievable. It's absolutely not something that is stomachable, but unfortunately, right, that is where we're at in the MMIW. Here in Minnesota, we've been privileged that we've had our legislators take the time to create an Office of Missing and Murdered Indigenous People, women especially. But a big reason that we have some of those problems are these huge extractive industry projects, like the one that came through Minnesota in 2020 and 2021, the Line 3 mm-hmm. construction project done by Enbridge. And tonight we have a couple of people from Wadukawad Amikwag, those who help Beaver, joining us to talk about some of those damages that we're seeing here in northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We have Jamie Gaither, who is an ally water protector with Wadukawad Amikwag. And we also have Victoria Migizikwe McMillan. It looks like Victoria's screen is loading right now. The our guests always have a little bit of internet stuff. But welcome to you both from Wadukawad Amikwag. And Jamie, if you want to go ahead and give everybody your introduction.
Oh, she's got sign language going on. You're on mute, and I got to get my coffee cup that Ogma gifted me a long time ago. You're still on mute. You're still on mute. She's can't read her lips there.
There's a mute button down at the bottom. It looks like a little microphone in the white box. Is it unmuting for you if you click there? Oh, Victoria, maybe you want to start with your introduction. Can you hear us all right over there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can. Hi, welcome.
Can see ya.
Oh, yeah. Bonjour. Ndinawe Margaret Duk. Migizikwe Nindijikaz. Nagacho Nung Nindunjba. Migizi Nindudame and Dago and Benesi. Nagacho Nung Nindunjba. Geez, I've never been on the radio before, so thanks for having me. Wadukawad Amikwag is a citizen science group, volunteer citizens of Minnesota that just get together and we talk on Zoom once a week. And we have drone operators, we have geologists and hydrologists and other scientists with us, and indigenous knowledge keepers, band members. And we all just work together to monitor the Line 3 project. So we've been doing that for quite some time now. Jamie would have better dates. I've only been with the group for about the last 6 months. But in that time, I've seen a lot of drone data that's really, just really concerning, because from the reporting we're getting in the public, you know, we're not getting much other than a few aquifer breaches, when really there's been a lot of unexplained disruptions that our infrared drones are picking up on. And we're only a small group of non-funded citizen scientists. You know, we're only going out there when we can. So we only get to a few sites and we only get to monitor so much. But if we had help, and we've been asking the state and federal agencies for help, we've been showing them the data and asking them for more help and in relation to what we've been doing in monitoring, so that we can get a better idea of what's actually happening in Minnesota with the aquifer breaches. We're losing lots of underground water every year. I mean, every day.
Right.
Jamie has the statistics on that.
Jamie, are you able to, can you speak and say something?
Yeah, I hope so.
Hey, there you are. We got you now. Hey, welcome, Jamie. And boy, we're talking about, you know, citizen detectives here, and we should probably talk in a way to support you. This is, you know, I know we had a lot of reports in the beginning when this was still being worked on, meaning line three, of all these punctures and things that were shooting up, and it's crazy. So go ahead and introduce yourself and welcome.
Oh, miigwech. Jamie Gaither, Indigenous Cause, Nawin Imbagi, Nang Indunjiba, Nawakwa and Nungum, Besho, Gawa Babiganika, Minawa, Ishpeminoman, Zage Ganing, Minawa, Enbridge, Line 393, Chimukamanakwe and Dao. And I introduce myself in the language of the people of this land because I have found that it has helped me to more fully understand the culture and the people of this land and Mother Earth herself. And I really am appreciative of the inclusivity that I've found in the Anishinaabe, and just really grateful to be a welcome part of the language learning community. So what I said in Ojibwemoan was, my name is Jamie Gaither. I'm a settler colonizer. I come from the Midwest, and I live now in the middle of the forest near White Earth Reservation and Upper Rice Lake. And my husband and I are abutters to the Line 393 pipeline here in Clearwater County. So, yeah, there's been so much that we've seen over this little over a year that this group has been together looking at these disturbances. And we're very grateful to our partners, White Earth Reservation, Rise Coalition, Honor the Earth, MN350, and Sierra Club all were a part of providing a thermal flyover in November of last year that has found these dozens of upwellings all along the corridor. And now our team is basically just trying to go out there and document what's happening so that we can make sure Enbridge is accountable to fix the land. There are places where we don't believe that they can really fix the land. And I'm glad to talk to you in specifics about a couple of the places here nearby where I live that we've been watching really closely.
Yeah, I would love to get into that. And we have plenty of time with you too. And we really appreciate you guys coming on this last minute here. And one of the things, am I able to, or any of our listeners all over Wisconsin, we're on civic media, we're in the Twin Cities, and of course online, and, you know, Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify, and iHeartRadio, and all those other platforms. Is there a place where I could go, a website, to see these videos or see these maps?
So we are getting ready. We are seconds away from issuing a website for everybody to be able to access a lot more information. Right now, the best place to go is our YouTube channel. We have lots of video there. I have some video. There are playlists. There's a lot of Honor the Earth and IEN and Rise and Makwa Initiative, all kinds of video on our playlists. So don't forget to check out our playlists. They're specific to aquifer breaches, frack outs, and just rights of nature, and et cetera, so you can find exactly what you're looking for. And we have breakouts from, in November, we did the webinar, and we had almost 200 people there wanting to know about what we were finding. And then in an evening Q&A, we had 100 people. So this is definitely something that is on the public's radar. We are hearing all the time from people who want to know more. And so our website will be issuing soon, and we're hopeful that by Valentine's Day we can give you that sweet gift of having a lot more places where you can see maps, details of the geology, details of these specific places that we're seeing damaged, and the damages are continuing. Walker Brook has been a big site of interest up here for some time, and it looks like they may be finishing their fix. I do not know whether this fix that they've put in place is going to work, but they look like they're starting to clear out, and we're seeing less water pumping from the Red River of the North watershed up to the Mississippi watershed over that Laurentian Divide. So we can talk a lot more about that in the next sections. I'm really excited to be here with you guys and hoping to hear more from Victoria.
Yeah, definitely. And we are too. Thank you too both so much for coming on, because this is stuff that, you know, with our 32nd attention span people forget about, and we haven't, and I'm glad you guys are doing the work that you're doing. So we're excited to hear some more stuff. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News special report. President Biden says he's spoken with Tyre Nichols' mother ahead of the release of body cam video showing his violent and ultimately deadly arrest.
I'm obviously very concerned about it, but I think she has made a very strong plea. She's obviously in enormous pain.
CBS's Skylar Henry is in Memphis.
Law enforcement officials say they are preparing for protests. Nichols' family is calling for peace.
Former police captain and current New York mayor, Eric Adams.
My message to New Yorkers is to respect the wishes of Mr. Nichols' mother. If you need to express your anger and outrage, do so peacefully. My message to the NYPD has been to exercise restraint.
FBI Director Christopher Wray.
All of our field offices have been alerted to work closely with their state and local partners, including in particular, of course, in Memphis, in the event something getting out of hand.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. There's been a spike in overdose deaths in January. Wisconsin officials are concerned about a new drug called Trank, which is a mix of fentanyl and xylazine. Xylazine is an animal tranquilizer, which is supposed to prolong the user's high. It can also cause horrendous skin wounds. Xylazine, which can't be treated with Narcan, was found in nearly 8% of fentanyl overdose deaths in 2021. For the first time since Governor Evers took office in 2018, a majority of DNR board members are his appointees. Republicans spent months refusing to hold hearings on the governor's choices. Scott Walker appointee Fred Prehn refused to step down even after his term expired, casting the deciding votes to expand the wolf hunt quota and kill proposed limits on PFAS and groundwater. Prehn finally resigned in December. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The show is brought to you by Minsure. We'll be right back.
marching in.
This is the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network. I am Connor from Chicago, filling in from downtown Donnie Brown, who will join us at game time after participating in Parents' Night's celebrations with his wife, Melissa, and their son, Evan Stout. Tonight, as the Blackshirts host Kettle Moraine, we welcome those listeners from Native Roots Radio to tonight's broadcast. As Blackshirt Nation is proudly represented by Indigenous peoples, as well as the sons and daughters of the Northern Migration, the descendants of the Middle Passage, the Irish diaspora in America, and all the banished children of Eve, it is our honor and duty to walk alongside our Native brethren through your struggles, triumphs, and achievements, and are happy to declare that Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We welcome you to join us on Black Shirt Basketball's journey of redemption, triumph, and self-discovery in this year's campaign. For those of you who are new, this program lost 60 straight conference games before fighting their way to their first winning season and playoff berth in 20 years, two seasons ago, and their first Classic Eight championship in 20 years, and a berth to the second sectional finals before just falling short just one game away from the state finals. Returning from last year's team are two all-state senior guards, Tyron Cook and Daniel Robinson. And they lead a supporting cast of juniors and seniors who have really elevated their game in the last couple of weeks. We give special praise to Ethan Check, whose performance in the last couple games has inspired Don to rename this club or rebrand this club as the Czech Republic. But tonight's game are the visiting Lasers of Kettle Moraine, and they're looking for revenge after losing to the Blackshirts in their Classic Eight opener. And with respects to our beloved Blackshirts, we are thrilled to see our favorite player in the conference. Personally, the 5'9 junior Drew Wagner, aka Wags. I want to begin by first talking about the last game, the Tuesday game against the Warriors, against Muskego, because that's a game that's really, really interesting because it shows how much they've developed. I remember watching the first game, and it was a tough one. It was a tough one. It went pretty late. We had lost a lot of missed free throws, a lot of turnovers, but the last game was beautiful. For those of you who missed it, it was a 63-51 victory over Muskego, and they were able to make 12 free throws, and they finished 16-24 from the line, while Muskego was just 7-10, showing they were able to find really great shots, and they were able to convert on them and draw fouls and play an all-around game. And that's one good thing that I've seen. Just how they've been developing all across the board. The more that they have been able to take less pressure off of the main two stars, Tyron and Daniel, the more they've been able to really play as deep as a lot of these other teams, because the main issue that I've seen is they haven't really been able to match. They haven't really been able to play the full game and keep all the players healthy and keep all the players consistent because of, you know, their nine player lineup. And so them being able to really get to a point where they're able to make these plays and really able to communicate a lot better than what they were earlier in the season is just amazing. And you know, much praise to the head coach, Bo Richter, and the assistant coaches, implementing a new system against them, because the last game, in the first Muskego game, they played, Muskego went and primarily used the full court press against them. And that was pretty much their Achilles heel the entire game. And switching over the plays into 2-3s and 1-3-1s and being a lot more creative with how he implements them, I think has also made it so this team has been able to increase and get better. Right now, they're 7-7 in the entire league, and they're 4-5 in the conference. So it's a middling season, but there's still some games left to be played, and so we'll see where this Waukesha team can go for the rest of the year. I want to take a quick break real quick, and so Calvin, would you please
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Don Brown inviting you to get local with me every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, on my show, This Week in Waukesha, live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Local news, local sports, local people, local music and culture. This Week in Waukesha, every Saturday, 8 a.m., here on Walk Radio, 540 a.m., 101 FM. The Shaw.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Waukesha boys basketball game against Kettle Moraine, the Kettle Moraine Lasers. Right now, JV is playing, and it's a real close game. It got real close at the end. It was actually, they were trailing by, I believe, around 10 or so at around the half. But now it's 57 to 55 with 14 seconds left on the clock. So I thought I'd do my due diligence here and give you guys some commentary on what's going on right now. Because this has been, one of the best games I've seen from the JV squad. Incredibly competitive, incredibly defensive. It's a very low scoring game. Number 30 is the point guard for the Lasers. He's going against Zayas DeWalt, who is the, and he drives and draws a foul, but it's on the Lasers, actually. So it's looking like it was okay. He went out of bounds. Sorry, and they're calling a timeout right now. I thought that it was an offensive foul, but he tripped and he went out of bounds. So, and so they're in timeout right now with 5 seconds left. Number 30 just took it up the court and tripped and went out of bounds, and so now we're just waiting. And so for those of you wondering where Don is at, he's currently on the floor right now with the other parents, because there is a parents' night at Waukesha South, and he is supporting the community, supporting the school. And so we're looking to see what they're going to do. Right now, I'm thinking that the Lasers should probably go and draw up a drive, draw another foul. Okay. So it's the Black Shirts with the ball. Sorry. So the Black Shirts, it's looking like they're just gonna take it out and try to hold onto the ball. I think they should try to get a shot off so they can solidify this slight lead they have right now, but let's see what they do. It's a full court press. He passes it to DeWalt. DeWalt's in there. They foul immediately. Number 12 fouls DeWalt. And he's going to the line. And he's been pretty good at the line for most of the year. And so looks like they're actually on the bonus set. So they're gonna take it out again. And then they pass it in. fouls immediately. Foul number 40. Number 40. I don't have the lineup. Let me see. Let me pull it up right here. See if it is. No, it's looking like this. Okay, here it is. So I have the lineup right here for the Lasers, for the JV Lasers. But the game is about to end. So, but right now at the line is number 12 for the. Oh, okay. So I don't have the lineup right now for the Black Shirts. So it's number 12 for the Black Shirts. I believe it's Hennis. And he just made his first. And he made his second. So they're up by four. This game is in the bag now. It's a two possession with 2.3 left on the clock. So unless they can get a pull off a three-point play here, which is going to be pretty hard to pull off. Unless they can pull that off. It's looking like this is going to be a win for the junior varsity team, a team that that I think is going to do great things next year, especially because they have a deeper lineup versus what's available for the varsity. And a lot of the bench players like Evan Stout and like Trey Duncan for the varsity team. I think Trey's a senior, if I'm not mistaken, but Evan is a junior. A lot of those players will be able to kind of fill in because of, like I said previous earlier in the broadcast, just the Black Shirts' main problem this entire year just being their depth. But we're coming back on the court. They're setting up. Let's see what this final play is going to be. Full court press by the Black Shirts. He launches one on the other side of the court. He tries to do an alley-oop from the other side of the court. And it doesn't quite go in. But that is the game for the JV Black Shirts and Lasers. Final score, 59-55. For the Black Shirts, beautiful game. Just another great game by this team. And like I was saying before, the game had ended. It's just next year they'll be able to fill in a lot of those gaps, have a little bit more height as well, and just have more. It's interesting to see because with Tyron and with Daniel leaving for next year, I really do think that players like DeWalt and Jack Cost, who's number one, who's the starting point guard for the JV Blackshirts, I really think they're going to be able to get the opportunity to be able to really push themselves and push their athleticism. Just being able to play around the already varsity players, in whom can match their athleticism pretty well, and so I'm just excited to see what the more complete and what the more advanced squad is going to be for next year. Every single time I come and I watch the JV squad play. But we're going to go to a little break, a little short break. And when we get back, I believe Don will be back. Maybe he won't, and you'll hear more of me. But this is the Waukesha or WUK 540 AM's broadcast of the Waukesha Boys Basketball South or basketball organization. Come back in or tune back in, and thank you.
Hey, this is Don Brown inviting you to get local with me every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, on my show, This Week in Waukesha, live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Local news, local sports, local people, local music and culture. This Week in Waukesha, every Saturday, 8 a.m., here on Walk Radio, 540 a.m., 101 FM. The show.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
They started from the bottom.
Started.
Now they're the Classic 8 basketball champions.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team.
And they're back. Catch all the action as we broadcast live and local. The Waukesha South Blackshirts. Defending their title in this year's campaign against the toughest teams in the state here on the Blackshirt Basketball Radio Network, Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So we're covered?
On station ID.
All right. There's what?
Stay for outside.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
They started from the bottom.
Started.
Now they're the Classic 8 basketball champions.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team in.
And they're back. Catch all the action as we broadcast live and local. The Waukesha South Blackshirts. Defending their title in this year's campaign against the toughest teams in the state here on the Blackshirt Basketball Radio Network. Walk Radio 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, welcome back to Blackshirt Arena, home of your beloved Blackshirts. And I'm back. Thank you, Connor, for that fantastic intro. I was listening from the Civic Media app on your smartphone. And Connor, you were fantastic. Very eloquent in your speech.
No, thank you.
And a great way of describing the triumph that you weren't able to attend last Tuesday because of the state of the state address. And I know that Civic Media was calling on your expertise as well as Calvin's to support that. And, you know, very important stuff. And as our company grows, eventually the local sports broadcasting will be a priority over some of these stately affairs. So hopefully by next season, you won't miss any Blackshirt action. But, hey, a real treat. Connor and I were beloved Blackshirts fans, but we also have a guilty pleasure. We're huge fans of number two, the 5'9 junior for Kettle Moraine, Drew Wagner, who also stars in the football field. He ate up our black shirts big time. Part of that state championship team at Kettle Moraine. Anyway, I had an opportunity to meet Drew Wagner down in the corner and wishing him luck, told him to go easy in our black shirts. But here he is leading the Blazers out, and a real gentleman. Just has the look of a leader and a champion, and it's going to be a lot of fun. This guy, he's 5'9", but he gets a lot of his points in the paint, man. He's a lumberjack. Cuts down some big trees, getting those buckets in, and really amazed Connor and me. He had like 34 points, and that was a night Tyron Cook had 45. I believe. They both also had like well over 30 rebounds, both of those guys.
Yeah.
And Tyron, it's understandable because he's not only 6'2", but he jumps like 7'3". I mean, he's a fairly special player. Drew Wagner, great receiver in football. He's shown his agility too, but a lot of strength, a lot of willpower. Just a joy. It'll be a lot of fun watching our guys in this second meeting here with KM. Can't wait. We end up winning, I believe, by 20, but the game was much closer than through most of it anyway than the score had indicated after losing a heartbreaker in the game before to Tosa West on a controversial non-call on the last second shot. If you remember that, black shirts are pretty motivated, looking for blood. It was their first conference game. And KM just wasn't, three-point is their strength, as we saw from the JV1 game. But it just wasn't there in that first half. So I anticipate, and I think you talked about this, that now that we're halfway through the season, that their percentages may have improved a lot. So we really got to watch out for that perimeter shooting from KM tonight. So looking forward to a great game. And the house is filling up. It was my honor to be part of senior night along with my wife, Melissa, and our son, Evan Stout, who I believe will get more playing time because senior Tack Tadioka is on his official visit along with football teammate CJ Johnson to St. Thomas, where unofficially they are committing scholarships. Great Division I football out there in Minnesota. So best of luck to them. It is an excused absence, I'm confident in saying. You like having Tack's abilities in the lineup and being able to use him in the rotation. So we'll see how our black shirts answer the bell that way. I know Connor told everybody my new nickname for the team, the Czech Republic. I was working on getting a banner to put up, but we will maybe next game, maybe we get some of the art students here at the school to draw something up. But Tyron Daniel, another amazing game last week, 20 and 16 points respectively, but Ethan Czech gave us 12 in addition to his usual leadership. Great defense, some monster plays on defense, great passes, had a couple really nice assists, and really been fun to watch. Charlie Morose, continuing to pick up his game, and when he's not scoring, he's still doing all the other things and has really been a factor for this black shirt lineup. I would anticipate we're going to see some more bright stop tonight, give us some more strength on the perimeter shooting. Tommy Karinko nailed at least two trays in the last game against Muskego. Had some great, very important trays against Nathan Hale. We didn't even mention the Nathan Hale game. We weren't going to broadcast that because it was part of the Luke Holman tournament. Mm-hmm. And when I was there last year, there were two games going on in the same gym. But this was like, I guess we were a primetime showdown. It was at 5:30. We were the only ones in our gym. And we may have pulled off that broadcast. So maybe we'll pay closer attention next year because we beat a team in Nathan Hale that's ranked pretty high in the state. And I did not realize that. They have an amazing forward. Really played an amazing game, well over 30 points. But Tyron also had an unbelievable night. When I captured on video, and I hope to show it maybe on Civic Media live stream or on our Facebook page, Tyron's dunk against Nathan Hale is very special. It was a self-made alley-oop. So it's really worth your checking out. I'm surprised it hasn't gone viral yet. I think Caitlin Weber, the athletic trainer, may have posted it at one point, but it really was a really fun shot to make, and it brought the house down. Last time I saw a high school gym get that excited was when I was back home for Thanksgiving break, and I got to watch Christian Leitner dunk against Bennett High School, the alma mater of Bob Lanier, at Bennett, and the whole crowd, home team alike, was up on their feet roaring. And it was to see a 7-foot guy dribble as well as he could and then dunk it from the free throw line. Very cool. And Tyron was his own unique special. He was at the free throw line too, and he gave up his dribble. Both guys guarding him overcommitted, and no one is open, so he just the whole lane. He lobbed it off the backboard to himself and came up and just jammed it. And it was really in total improv. He wasn't planning that.
Yeah, I mean, he does that a lot during pregame too. So
kind of had the inside scoop on that. So, but it really was fun. And the usual celebrities here tonight. I see defensive backs coach Chris Carrillo, from the football program. I see Jonah Radomski of the Waukesha Wings hockey program, whose father, Don, varsity baseball coach at North, will be joining new South varsity baseball coach John Stillman on my show tomorrow morning, this week in Waukesha, 8 a.m. So you really can't miss this. I know baseball season hasn't started yet, but a lot of baseball planning goes on, and heck, baseball goes year-round these days with the kids. So we'll have a lot of fun tomorrow. It's the first time that these two coaches meet, so I'm really looking forward to being a part of that. So I know Connor's going to get up early to check that out, being a huge baseball fan. So who else is here tonight? My heavens. I did see John Stillman earlier. Billy Schwartz has got a grin from here.